What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Our next guest is Asil Abduras, the Managing Director of the Occupied Palestinian Territory Department at Physicians for Human Rights Israel, where she leads the legal and humanitarian interventions, documents violations, and advocates for systemic change and accountability. Physicians for Human Rights Israel has a new report, Destroying Hope for the Future, Reproductive Violence in Gaza. Welcome, Asil. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Asil, two groups that are supposed to be protected during wartime are pregnant women and infants, but they have not been. And in fact, the entire reproductive class of Gaza has been adversely impacted, to put it lightly. I'm going to read some of the numbers from your report. Between May and June 2025, the Palestinian Ministry of Health reported a 41% decrease in birth rate in Gaza compared to the same time period in 2022. There was a significant increase in miscarriages that affected more than 2,600 women and 220 pregnancy-related deaths that occurred before delivery. The ministry also reported a sharp increase in premature births and low birth weight cases. Over 1,460 babies were reported to be born prematurely, while more than 2,500 were admitted to neonatal intensive care. Newborn deaths also increased, with at least 21 babies reported to have died on their first day of life. And the report says, just like the number of deaths generally as a result of the genocide, we're talking about an undercount. Talk about specifically with reproductive harm, how are the numbers impacted to where we get undercounts?
What was the question?
The undercount, specifically related to reproductive harm, the numbers. Your report says the numbers I just read are an undercount.
Of course, yeah. As you know, the healthcare system is under collapse for the past 2 years. Many healthcare facilities have been destroyed for the past 2 years, including maternal clinics, anything related to reproductive health. Many doctors, I mean, hundreds and thousands of doctors have been killed, many arrested. And this all disturb women accessing healthcare facilities and hospitals. So many numbers are yet, we don't know many numbers because this reason is just one of the reasons. In our report, we have documented as well how women have been giving birth also in tents, many times away from any medical support, any doctor. So not all of the cases that we have right now is documented. And another important thing to mention is that the healthcare system, when we say healthcare system, it's not just hospital, but also it's, you know, coordination and it's communication between areas in the strip, and this has been also destroyed. So there's a lot of information that is not being, you know, documented, and statistics that are not being accounted for. So any number that is coming out of the strip right now is usually, you know, an understatement of what is actually has been happening for the past 2 years.
I want to walk through some of the key findings of your report. Right before you list the key findings, it says, I'm just going to reiterate what you just said, that the destruction of Gaza's health infrastructure combined with restrictions on food and medical supplies, including baby formula, has created an environment in which the fundamental biological processes of reproduction and survival have been systematically destroyed, resulting in harm, pain, suffering, and death. The attacks on reproductive facilities, to your point, is not just hospitals. What did women do? And what about for non-pregnancy related issues? How have women accessed reproductive care for a wide swath of other issues? And if they have not, what have the implications on that been on the healthcare fabric for women in Gaza?
Your question is a bit unclear. Are you asking about the findings on how women, can you re...
I'm saying that reproductive care includes more than just pregnancy and delivery. How mm-hmm. has the lack of reproductive facilities impacted those other needs?
Yeah, of course. So for the past 2 years, there has been attacks and forced closures on many maternity wards and in the main hospitals in the Strip. You know, the biggest, most advanced hospitals like Shifa Hospital that we've been hearing about in the news for the past 2 years, as well as Nasser Hospital and et cetera, and a lot of maternity wards that have been forced to close or have been bombed, or aid and you know, necessities for a facility to be functioning are just being is not allowed to go to these facilities. So, and this has been happening for the past 2 years, as well as I've mentioned, the killing, injury, and kidnapping of healthcare workers, and the shortages of essential drugs and supplements for these women. So it's not just, as I mentioned, it's not just the hospital themselves, but also essential drugs and supplements that women need, like folic acid and antibiotics. All of these things have been not going in Gaza for the past 2 years. And this is just one aspect that we looked at. We also looked at, when we looked at the harms for pregnant and lactating women, we also looked at starvation as something that is also harming pregnant women and women who gave recently birth. We looked at starvation, and we see starvation as a weapon of war, and the main cause, of course, of that is one of the main causes that is affecting these women. And we see it also as a way that is cascading. It's not just affecting their bodies, but it's also affecting their newborns and their children. And this is the main reasons also for preterm births and low weight births, and also a lot of problems that we might not be seeing it right now, like development problems. And we could also we might only see it in later. So we also documented that. And there's also a very kind of direct way that you can see it is shortages, baby formula, that have been going on for the past 2 years. And it's right now is very, very drastic. Also, since the ceasefire that was declared in October 2025, aid groups are still saying that there's not enough baby formulas in the Strip. So I mentioned the healthcare, the attacks on healthcare, that we can directly show how it affects reproductive health and women, and also this is the access to healthcare services, but also starvation. And another point that we've looked at is also repeated forcible displacement. Many of the women we have spoke with, almost all of them, have been repeatedly displaced, and it's not one or two times. Many of them have told us they have been displaced 7-8 times, and it's not just it's psychological, and it's also physical harm. Homes, their homes that have been destroyed or lost, and their belongings have been left behind. And this is obviously the direct effect, but also women have told us that they had to walk long distances when they are carrying their children and their possessions. And this is the effects of this. We are seeing it right now until this day, even after the ceasefire. There are mothers and women and young girls who are still living in makeshift tents and in displaced camps that are not well prepared for, you know, not just for the winter conditions, for any conditions. They are living, it is very crowded. There are, we all heard about, you know, the public health crisis with a lot of communicable diseases that are affecting women and children the most, because their bodies are vulnerable in this kind of in this situation. And this was the situation before October 2025, and it's still the situation right now, where there are more than 1 million people who are still in makeshift tents and in displacement camps. Many of them are children and women that are still, there's not equitable shelters for them. And this is affecting also their bodies, also the reproductive health, but also they're affecting their affecting their newborns. Right now, there are 50,000 women who are pregnant in Gaza at this moment, right now, while we're speaking. So these are the effects that we are seeing that are direct to the healthcare system, the destruction of the healthcare system, but not necessarily. But it's important to mention here that this is all related to each other. One thing is basically, you know, is it's a cascading effect. One thing is leading to another. The fact that there's no the healthcare system is not functioning as it should. Many diseases that could be treated, you know, in a normal situation are very deadly for women and children because of the crowded environment that they have to live in, and because they cannot access the healthcare system as they should. So this is all affecting them.
So when a population's ability to reproduce is impacted, what does that mean for survival odds for the future of that population?
Yeah, so right now it's very interesting because we have published a report back, PHRI have published a report a few months ago, and in this report we have mentioned, it's basically we're analyzing the conditions of life in Gaza, and we are also analyzing the past 2 years, and we are documenting the conditions of life and eventually concluding that this is a genocide. And I'm mentioning that because when we're looking at the conditions of life, are also translate into acute and specific harm to pregnant and lactating women and to their infants. I've mentioned before starvation. I mentioned lack of access to healthcare, but also to water and humanitarian aid, repeated displacement. All of these things are and the destruction of maternal and reproductive healthcare. All of this is affecting women, and we the way we're looking at this that this is a the, we view it as reproductive violence, alongside, you know, there's a systematic deprivation alongside this. This is a very, very the systematic deprivation that I've just mentioned: starvation, lack of access to any condition of life, the repeated displacement. All of these together are a broader set of conditions that have been destroyed deliberately. And this is how we're looking at it. It has been systematically and deliberately imposed on Gaza's population. And this is affecting the population ability to women to reproduce. These are some aspects, like destruction of the maternal health care is one aspect. The denial of access is one aspect. The denial of water and food is one aspect. But we shouldn't look at it as kind of separate things. They are, at the end of the day, one policy that the aim of it is to destroy the conditions of life. And when we see that this is affecting firstly and foremostly women and their children, we look at it also in a way that this is harming the hope for the future. This is harming motherhood and harming the possibility to be able to get pregnant and to give birth in a safe environment. And we're not even mentioning, I didn't even mention, you know, the mental harm on women when all of these are combined. One of the things that we have understood, one of the things that we have gathered from our research and from our findings is that, and this is a highly, highly particularly concerning aspect, is that there's also widespread fear and hesitation among women regarding future pregnancies, And this reflects the profound psychological and social pressure on women. And this is very and highly documented also in a lot of UN in UN reports and UN investigative bodies. And in this context, we can see clearly that there's a reproductive violence that is happening, and this is affecting women to give birth.
Asil Abdoras, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.